Abdus Slavi, to make the Hachanas for the Abra Parshias for Shabbos Kolam is coming up. The four Parshias that we read this time of the year before Purim and Pesach really create a Kaima Shlema, which means that in order to understand the Parshias, they have to be studied as an entire unit, not just each one separately. And that's what the Kedushas Levi does in this piece. We really, if we have time, we'll try to get to two of them. It's not easy. We'll try. So you see, which is Pasha Shkolim, page Reish Chof. If you have a different Kedushas Levi printing, it's right after Pasha Kisisa. Right after Kisisa, Pasha Shkolim. Shabbos Shkolim, Hukfi Masha Kosa B'Sefi Yitzira. The Rebbe begins and bases this entire Torah upon a statement that's found in the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation. Shkolon v'hemiron. What does that mean? The word in Hebrew, lishkol, means to weigh. The Sefer Yetzirah is dealing with how Hashem Yisbarach created the world, with the letters of the Aleph Beis and the different elements. It's something which is not really for us right now. So in the process of creation, the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that Hashem weighed Shkolon v'hemiran and exchanged, meaning these kaychas of creation. Dahainu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'shas B'yis Ha'olam. That means that Hashem at the time of creation, Shokal, he weighed, or he considered. The word Lishkol, even how we would say it in English, when a person makes a weighty decision, to weigh something, to measure something, doesn't only mean physical volume, it means its significance, it's important. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shas B'yis Ha'olam, when Hashem created the world, Shokal, he was weighing, measuring, deciding, Eich L'Hashpia L'Srofim K'Madregosam, the exact amount of his light, of his influence, that is going to be infused into each level of creation, to the highest angels, U'L'Chol HaRikim, into all levels of the creation, ulechala ilam is all worlds, ulezeha ilam atachtai, and to this the lowest world, the physical world, ulechala brum shebezeha ilam, and to all that is created in this world, lechol echot kefi madrigosu b'chinasa. We've spoken about this many times. The name of Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud, which is on the mezuzahs of our homes. That shame, Shin Dalad Yud, Chazal have revealed to us that it means Shadaila Lakusa B'chol Briya, means that Hashem gave every single thing in creation exactly the amount of His presence that it needs in order to accomplish its task, its goal in creation. Every single thing, every single being received the exact measure of godliness, of Hashem's light, in order for it to exist and to function. So, at the time of creation, the B'ditchva says, Hashem weighed and measured exactly how much of His presence, of His light, was going to give life and vitality to every aspect of creation, from the highest angels down to the lowest creatures in this world. The Kol Echad, that He says, Kefi Madrigoso B'chinoso, each being in creation according to its level and according to the aspect, according to the bechina of its existence. V'noson la'odam, and Hashem Yisbarach gave man Shu tachlis abriya, man, of course, is the goal and the purpose of creation. Habechira biyado, Hashem Baruch Hu gave man the greatest gift of all, which also has made life much more complicated for us than everything else that exists. He gave us free choice. Man can make the choice to go in the right way, or God forbid, the wrong way. In other words, we ourselves were given this power, lishkol, to weigh and to measure every step of our lives. All other creatures in existence were given their measure of godliness, and that decision was made kivyochah by the master of the world. And then they're pretty much, all of the rest of the creatures of the world are pretty much set in accordance to the nature of each creature, Hashem is Baruch infused into all that exists. But the human being was given the power himself to make decisions and choices, lishkol, to be a shoykel, to measure, to decide. And the Bechira, the choice that a person has to either follow the right path or, God forbid, the wrong path. V'al zemrum is Parsha Zohar. So, Parsha Shkolim, Shabbos Shkolim, means that beginning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu measured how much godliness everything was to receive. And we have the ability to make a choice. Man was given such an exalted level, such an exalted amount of Hashem's Baruch's light, that just as Hashem weighs and measures, man was given the ability to make choices. The choice could either be a good one, but then comes Parsha Zohar. V'al zemrum is Parsha Zohar, the Parsha of remembering Amalek. Ki Zohar liska masha osolam Amalek. Zohar means remember what Amalek did to us. V'Amalek hu ha-yetzahar, of course, Amalek means the side of evil. U'be'emes lo ma'habachira. So why did Hashem Yisbarach put us into a world? Why did He give us, men, and specifically Klal Yisrael, this ability to make choices, which could be good, but on the other hand, we might forget, and we might be deceived by the power of Amalek, you might not remember. U'be'emes lo ma'abchira, why did Hashem Yisbarach give us this choice to be shokel, to weigh and to measure every step, to either make the right choice or, God forbid, to forget and to fall into the realm of Amalek? Hukadesh la'idei zeh yila ha'bari nachas ruach v'sif'eres mizeh ha'odem. Because this, in effect, is the glory of a human being. And this enables the human being to give nachas ruach, to give great pride and joy to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Because only the Adam has the ability to make choices. And therefore his life is meaningful because of those choices. Shemargiz hayetza tayv al yetzahar. Only man is caught up in this struggle between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and has the ability to defeat the Yetzer Hara with his Yetzer Tov. And when man does that, when man remembers Amalek, when man weighs and measures the steps of his life and remembers Amalek, the Yetzer Hara, and defeats the Yetzer Hara, then the Sifaris Mizah Adam Shemagizitav Yetzaraz Abari Baruch Mispar Atma Buruf. Then Kivyakla Hashem Baruch takes pride in his creation. Man is the tachlis of creation. And man is the tachlis because he can make choices. And Hashem Baruch is Mispar Atma Buruf, he takes pride. He's Mispar Buruf. While Zemrum is Parshas Parah. And this is what's hinted at in Parshas Parah, which, besides the fact that it has the letters of Pei Resh Hei, which are connected to Sifara or Tiferes. But Al Pi Kabbalah, which the Rebbe doesn't really go into over here, we're going to understand a little bit more on our level in a few minutes. The Parshas Paro Keneged Atiferes. Parshas Paro is that Mida, is that quality of Tiferes, where Hashem takes pride in men. Ultimately, we understand that the Koach of the Paro Adumah means, on some level, the human being has the ability to overcome even death. Because remember that the ashes of the Paro Adumah of the red cow, those ashes are used to free us from the tumah, from the impurity that is created by the Malach HaMavos, by the presence of death. So on some level, Parshas Paro means man's ability to overcome the Malach HaMavos, man's ability to defeat even death. It's true that as before Mashiach comes, before Tchias HaMeisim, it's true that ultimately death defeats us. Everyone is destined to die. Still, ultimately, Parshas Paro means the potential that man has to overcome death. And the greatest pride that Hashem Yisbarach has in man is that only man, by virtue of the choices that he makes with his own will, his own seichel, but only man can reach such a madrega to overcome the Yetzirah, which is the same as the Malach HaMavos. We understand, and I've mentioned this many times in Shul, that when a Bar Mitzvah boy gets up and says his drasha, it's very nice, and everybody's very proud of him. But Lamaisa, the question of how proud the parents really are, that question is not truthfully solved or answered when he's 13 years old. Although nowadays it's more meaningful than it used to be, because now it's very hard even for a 13-year-old to be a tzaddik. But we understand that the 13-year-old yeshiva bacher that stands up and says over a pshatl and Torah, and he's a tzaddik, and he wears his tzitzis, and he davens, and he says brachas, and he keeps mitzvahs, the shaila is going to be, what's going to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now with his bar mitzvah bacher? Because we understand that the only time that a parent really, really takes pride in a child is when the child makes the right choices. When the kid's little, the parents are making the choices for him, and he's pretty much programmed. It's one of the ironic things, of course, in life, is that you see that parents are unbelievably proud of their little kids. Like when the little kid says mommy or something, or daddy. Or they dress up the little kid. So the parents march along the avenue, showing off the kids, and they have such a hisparus, they have such pride in their kids. But when they start making their own choices, the children, then the parents are no longer proud of them. When really it's crazy, it should be even a hapechu. The way it's supposed to be is, what's the big deal? You know why the kid looks so cute? Because the parents put on, the mother got the kid dressed up, so the kid looks cute. Why is the kid such a good bar mitzvah bacher? Because the parents got him ready for his bar mitzvah. They paid for a good rabbi, and they put on a nice suit, and they got him a good somebody to teach him how to lie, and he gets up there, and he thought, okay, beside that. But it's not such a chokhmah. The teferis of a human being is when he makes the right choices, when he's a bal seichel. That a child is able to be cute, there's no reason to have any hisparus from that. It's fun, it's nice, but it's not a teferis. Teferis is when somebody makes the right choices. So really, it's very hard to know until somebody dies. It's very hard to know whether he's made the right choices. But that's where teferis comes from. So Parshas Paro, which means man's ability to ultimately make the choice of life over death. That's what Parshas Paro is. That's the hisparus that God has from us. So again, the order is, Shabbos Shkolim means that Hashem created the world in such a way where He weighed and measured how much godliness each would receive. And man alone received the ability to weigh and measure his life, which means Lishkol. And the human being is warned, Zohar, remember Amalek. Remember. So that ultimately there could be a Parshas Paro, which would bring glory and pride to the one who created us, that man can choose life over death, which is Parshas Parah, which has not the oisiest deferis. And then comes the final parsha of the special four parshias, which is Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh that we read before Pesach. And what's that hinting to? Parshas HaChodesh merumish shaloi taimar chas shalom, that one shouldn't say, God forbid, Mishabara Hashem is baruch ha-salamo, that once God created his world, shuv eina mashgiach alea chalila. You might think that once God created the world, he no longer cares about it, that he's abandoned the world after he's created it, and therefore maybe there's no point to all of the struggles that we have to choose between right and wrong, between good and evil. You might sometimes have this crazy thought that there's no tachlis to any of this, that God doesn't care, he's not involved. Chalila lo yimakein, God forbid. Rak ha'adam tzarech lahamin b'emunah shleima, he has to constantly strengthen himself b'emunah shleima with complete faith and belief. Shahaboyrei mashgiach tamid, that the Creator is constantly, constantly watching, constantly involved. B'li shum hefsik, without any interruption at all. Al kol ha'olamis, on all worlds. U'mechaya isam, and gives life to all worlds constantly. U'mechadesh isam, and renews and recreates all existence always. Kamaim Rakosiv, as we say in davening, Hamachadesh Betuvo B'chol Yom Tomin, that Hashem recreates, renews in His goodness every single day. Ma'aseh Bereishis, that's Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh means that we constantly have to renew within ourselves this faith that Hashem is what is mechadesh, that Hashem is creating everything every moment, and therefore Hashem is involved in creation. It's not that something happened a long time ago, He just made us and left us, God forbid, but we have to believe that every single second He's mechayi, He's mechadesh, He's involved, He cares, and therefore the choices are important. And the struggle that we have within ourselves between good and evil, those struggles are meaningful, because Hashem Yisbarach is constantly, constantly mechadish, constantly recreating, renewing creation. Oid Yevorah Arba Parashias, furthermore he explains, Shem Shkolim Zocha Parin Chodesh, these four special parashias, Rumas B'Sefer Yetzira comes back to the statement that's found in Yetzira, that talks about how Hashem created the world with the letters of the Aleph Beis. And it says in the book of creation, Shkolon, that Hashem weighed them, Vehemiron, exchanged them, meaning that Hashem Yisbarach took the letters and He put them in different order, all different orders, Hemiron. Utsrafon, He joined them together, Vahason, and He made them, Kemin Ma'aziva, like a ceiling of refesh and tit, of clay. That Hashem created the world in such a way. Haklal. The meaning of this is, Benisan Nivra Ha'olam. The world was actually physically created in the month of Nisan. Right? As Taisus explains in Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem conceived of creation in Tishrei. But the actual creation took place in Nisan. U'be'emes Kaidim Briyas Ha'olam, Hayahu Shmai Echad. And in truth, before the creation of the world, Hashem and His name were one. Vishakal Eich Lashpiel L'chol Eilam V'Eilam Kashem Yechaylin L'Kabal Hashef Amita Yisbarach. He returns to the concept that we learned a moment ago, that creation meant Hashem measuring how much of His Hashpah, of His influence, of His light to give, to distribute to everything that would exist, so that it would be able to receive that shefa, that influence. Dahainu la'ilam asrafim kamadrigosim, as he explained before, to those higher angels, each according to its madrega, and la'ilam chayas akaydish, and to the other angels kamadrigosim, la'ilam malachim, la'ilam galgalim, la'ilam atachton, finally to this lower world. The kolechad ve'echad shakal habar yizbaruch eichu b'amor, Hashem is Baruch weighed exactly how much Shefa, how much of His presence, which is pure, how much each would receive. And that is hinted to in the statement of Chazal, that means, as Chazal say, that Hashem is Baruch asked everything in creation to consent. It's a very mysterious Chazal. In other words, as if Hashem went over to the horses and said, "Do you consent to being horses?" And as soon as we went over to the clouds, "Do you consent to become clouds?" Hashem is Baruch gave everything in creation this right to consent. And everything was created with knowledge exactly what it was going to be like. So the Rebbe explains that doesn't mean that the horses or the clouds have seichel, have intellect, or understanding like human beings. But what it means is that Hashem is Baruch divided His presence exactly in accordance to the nature of everything that exists. In accordance to exactly the nature of that being and what it was to accomplish in creation, what its purpose is in creation. B'zeh shemerum is b'sef yitzir, and that is hinted at in the sef yitzir and says shkolim, that Hashem weighed and measured. B'zeh parsha shkolim, and that is the parsha of shkolim. And then Hashem is Baruch distributed His light to all creation. But Hashem is infinite. But everything in the world is finite. So of course this is the greatest problem. This is what all the Sifrei Kabbalah are talking about, and all the philosophers are dreaming about and trying to figure out. How could it be that a finite world should come from the one who is infinite? Nimtze kivyochel, habari yizbarach ishpia me'ein saif l'saif. In effect, what this means is that Hashem was mashpia from the infinite to the finite. And that's why we're having such problems with the Yetzer Hara. All confusion and all distortions come from that crossing over from the infinite to the finite. Because of course Hashem had to conceal His infinite being. Hashem had to hide His infinite light. And because Hashem did that, we have free choice. So the Rebbe's saying is, V'hu b'b'chinas t'mura. This is what is meant when it says in the Sefer Yetzirah that Hashem weighed and measured exactly how much light everything would receive. And in order for Hashem Baruch to bring into existence a finite world from His infinite light, He had to conceal His light in accordance to the needs of everything in creation to exist. And once Hashem Baruch did that, the exchange took place. What does it mean, the exchange? Remember it says in the Sefer Yetzirah, Shkolin Vehem Miron, Tamura means exchange. Dahainu Shema'ein Saif Tzimtzim Behiroso Al Nevroim. This is the horrible exchange, even though it gives man the ability to make choices and ultimately for Hashem to take pride in us. But the exchange took place, and that's why many, many people in the world have exchanged the Infinite One, have exchanged God for belief in other things, or for not believing at all. The exchange, the Tmura means that by crossing over from infinite to finite, by Hashem is Baruch creating the world in such a way where He concealed and hid His light, man now can exchange the truth for falsehood. Man has the ability to exchange what is real for that which is unreal. That from the infinite light Hashem constricted and concealed that clarity, so that there could be a physical finite reality, but now this world has the ability to exchange the truth and to buy into the lie, to exchange and to confuse. V'zehu, and that is the meaning of what it says in the Sefer Yetzirah. Right? Shkol and Hashem weighed and measured, and in order to give each creature, Hashem had what it needs, Hashem had to conceal His light. V'heimiron, and that brought about the exchange. Loshon Tmur, the confusion. Lir Mazal Hanal. Umeat Simsim, and because of this constriction and this concealment, Ba'aklipas Lailam, the side of evil can now be in the world. There could be klipas, there could be husks and shells. Kidua, as it's known, Ba'asherish Ma'aklipa Hu Amalek, and the root of all the klipas, of all evil in the world, of all the wrong choices, the one who is the great exchanger, the one who always trades in right for wrong, who trades in holiness for impurity, is Amalek. And even in Haman's name, the Hay and the Mem, the first two letters of the word Hemir, to exchange. Harisharish Maklipu Amalek. And we're waiting every day, and this is the purpose of our lives, to destroy Amalek. Not to fall for the exchange, for the lie, not to be confused. And to know that if we have free choice, and to know that if things are unclear, and if there's evil in the world, it's not, God forbid, that He doesn't exist. It's because He weighed and measured, and He gave us the light that we need in order to make those choices. But He didn't make the choice for us. We have to make those choices. And because we have to make the choice, it means that we always have the possibility of exchanging truth for falsehood. And that's Amalek. And that's when Hashem, that's Parsha Zohar, which means remember, Amalek. V'nimtzeh hemiran hu Parsha Zohar. So the exchange is Parsha Zohar. We're warned to remember. Right, so that's Shkolon v'Hemiron, Pasha Shkolon and Pasha Zohar. Not to forget the truth, even though it's covered by all the klipas. And even though we often feel tempted to exchange the truth for the lie and to give up, Pasha Zohar means remember. Remember that Amalek is a lie. Remember that Amalek is not true. The Achakach, and then it says in the Sefer Yetzirah that Hashem joined together the letters of creation, Utsrafan. Ke Hashem is Baruch, Baruch Hu, Nosen Ka, B'chol Nevarim Lachzer Alai, and he says a very deep thing. That no matter how much a person forgets, no matter how much a person buys into Amalek and exchanges the truth for the lie, it's still always possible to purify yourself and come back to the beginning. Even though you got lost all the way, you fell into the deception of Amalek, and you forgot, and therefore you formed a partnership with the Malach HaMavis, with the Angel of Death, and you brought death into your life, and you ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hashem gave each and every one of us the ability, lachzer el ha'ayin, to retrace our steps, to go back to nothingness, to the beginning, to the truth, to that which is hidden. V'hashef asher kiblu ha'olam esu kidmus ha'tayru. V'hatayru ha'aisi is. And all of this is, of course, hinted at in the letters, the holy letters of the Aleph Beis, which are the letters of the Torah. V'nimtza nishpa ha'shefa ala ilum es ba'alav beiz gimel dalut atav. Hashem's light is infused into creation through the Torah, through specifically the letters of the Torah. That means in the order of the Aleph Beis, gimel dalut hevav, from that which is closest to Hashem, which is the Aleph, which means where there's the least concealment, where things are clear, that's the Aleph. All the way to the last letter, which is the Sof, where things are most hidden and confusing. When the worlds are trying to return back to the beginning, to the truth that's hidden. Az ha'aisi es chayzim al ha'shayrish mitaf ad aleph. That means the letters are climbing up, trying to come out of the bottom, out of the cellar, out of the depths, from the tuff, trying to come back to the aleph. That's why the time of returning to Hashem is Tishrei, because Tishrei is the order of Tashrak, of the tuff climbing up to a shin, then climbing up to a resh. And that's why the word tshuva is tuff and shin also, meaning drawing myself out from the bottom and trying to head back towards the beginning, from the tuff to the shin, towards the beginning. In the davening of Rosh Yom Kippur, everybody knows that all of these special tefillos are either in the order of Aleph till Sof or from Sof till Aleph. You look in the Machzor. Now the Machzorim are printed in much, especially you look at the art school Machzor is printed in such a wonderful way that it's in bold print. It helps us out. We're going our whole lives never realizing that, using all the old Machzorim. In the new Machzorim you see, because it prints it, it makes it in bold letters, so you can see what's going on, right? It's a Machai. And you look there, you see everything's Aleph till Sof, Sof till Aleph, and different ways. With Isis, it all has to do with this. V'hine, Zesha Isis Chayzim al-Ayin. This reconfiguration of the letters and the effort to restore order to creation, to your own life, because you got lost in the cellar, you got lost, you forgot, and you fell into a Amalek. And you drifted further and further away from the Aleph, from the Ayin. Mizehu tziruf etayvus dahainu hatav chayzer al hashayrish. When things are brought back into the right order, then the Sof returns to the Aleph. Then even the lowest Jew, even though we've gotten so far away that we mamish fell to the Sof, we have the ability, the tshuva, we have the ability to purify ourselves, which of course is Parshas Parah, to come back from the dead, because Arasha is like someone who's died, to come back from the dead and to put our lives back in order. Menasim is at Tev Tevas S. And we can fix the order and to make the word Aleph Sof, which connects the very beginning to the very end. The Chain Hatov Derech Kalaisius Ad Beis Canal. Vinasat Seiruf Tevas Bas. Again, we bring the Sof back to all the letters in the proper order. So it goes back to the Aleph, it's S. Goes back to the Beis, it's Bas. It goes back to the Gimel, it's Gas. Without going into the meaning of each of those Seirufim, which are very, very amazing. We don't have time for that now. That's not what the Rebbe talks about here. But that's hinted at in the creation of Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ve'es Ha'aretz. V'chein Shar Kalo Aisyas. That's why ultimately, as we've spoken about in the past, that's why the creation itself is in the month of Nisan, and that's Chodesh Ha'aviv. And therefore Pesach is the Chag Ha'aviv, and the Aviv is putting the Aleph Beis into correct order, right? Aleph Beis. Tishrei is Tav Shin. Aviv is returning to the beginning, which is Aleph Beis, the springtime, Aleph Beis. That's the whole meaning of Menachem Av, of Tisha B'Av, Menachem Av, to comfort the Aleph Beis because of the Churban. Because the Churban means that the letters became mixed up. That's why every year Tisha B'Av we talk about that Eicha is written in the order of Aleph Beis. Eicha Yashua Bada Hirabosiyam Haisa Kalanotseth that Bacha Sifke Balaila, right? Aleph Beis. Eicha Bacha Sifke Golsa Yehuda, and so on. So it's written in the order of Aleph Beis. Except for the last parak, where the letters are all out of order. They're all there, but they're all mixed up. Because the Churban means that the Churban means that the letters of the Aleph Beis become mixed up and confused, because we're falling into that galus. Because the Torah is the perfect way, and the Torah spells out for us the correct order of things and the right configuration of all the letters of all the Aces. And when we botch up, the letters get crazy, And that's why ultimately Menachem Av, well, the Aleph Beis is comforted that there'll be a Geula. V'chein Shachol Ha'isius, and so it is with all the letters. V'zesh Ha'chosim Ha'ayin, the return to Aleph, to nothingness, to the beginning, to the truth. Nasa Yidezet Seif Tevis. Haklal mi devarenu, what I'm saying is this. Hashem is Baruch Nosim Kerech B'chol HaBruim V'Yitzurim V'Nasim Lachzor La'ayin. That Hashem has given the ability for all of creation to return to Ayin, to nothingness, to Aleph, to the beginning. V'Nehabruim Kashem Estaklim V'Ayin. And that's the meaning of Me Ayin Yavo Ezri, right? And Dodo Mel said, I turn my eyes to the mountains. May Ayin Yavo Ezri. My help comes from the place of Ayin. So the Rebbe explains that with all of creation, all that exists, Kashahim Estaklim B'Ha'ayin, when they look, when they gaze upon the nothingness. See, the problem begins when we take physical reality very seriously. Physical reality is basically all the Hey Bob Zayin Ches Tov Chav Lam, the rest, until you get to Sof. Sof is the most confusing. Sof is the lowest, is the worst. You see the last three letters of Aleph Beis before the Sof is Sheker, right? Kufrei Shin, Sheker, and then Sof is even, it's the Tahoim Rab, it's the depths of all the depths. It's after Sheker, it's the bottom. It's after the Kufrei Shin. Is soft. So when you look at reality, so a person looks at the suffering in the world, he sees craziness in the world, and he says it must be that's it, and it's not, the Torah is not true, God forbid. And he falls into the Tahim Rabbi, he falls into the depths, into the Sheker, into the falsehood, the bottom of the Aleph Beis. The only way for a person to climb out is by gazing upon the Ayin. May Ayin Yavo Ezri, which means that's that which I can't see with my eyes, which is why when you say Shema, you close your eyes. Not to see physical reality, because physical reality is what God has messed up to begin with. Because when you look at physical reality, it seems like, you know, there's no tachlis, there's no point to any of this. I might as well just have fun and do what everybody else is doing. But instead I've chosen to get up every morning to daven and to live as a Jew. The only way that I could do that is by looking at the Ayin, by turning my eyes towards the infinite, towards nothing, towards that which I can't see with my eyes. So I close my eyes. I close my eyes when I say Shema. And Oz Hachiyah Shalahem Hu Ha'ayin, and then all that exists is able to understand that its life force is really coming from Ayin, from that place beyond which is called Ayin, which you can't see with your eyes. Not from the world of Amalek, not from the world of Sof, not from the other letters, but from the, ultimately it goes back to the Ayin. V'abachina hazeh nikra tahar. And this ability for man to look back and to gaze upon that beginning that's called nothing, to clear away and to turn away from all that he sees before his eyes in this physical world, that's called tahara, purification. V'tahar yoma, like when the day, when the sun is cleared from the horizon, when the day is cleared, meaning when everything, all the obstructions are removed. Kashamavor barich b'devarim b'sevedusas lady. Upara aduma, and this is what's hinted at in Para Aduma, in the red cow, the ashes of the Paraduma, Nas al Tahara, it gives us the ability to purify ourselves, to make all of this world that seems so real into ashes, and to know where it all begins is from the Ayin. And that's why it had the opposite effect. That's why no human being could understand. Even Shlomo Melech said he couldn't understand what. How is it that the Paraduma has this built-in contradiction? On the one hand, it purifies those who are impure, and it makes impure those who are pure. How could it be that it has an opposite effect? Because according to the laws of nature, that can't be. One thing can't have opposite effects. It can't contain itself and its opposite. But when a person looks at that place beyond this world, so can it be that there should be, can it be a Holocaust and Hashem's goodness in one reality? The answer is yes. There can be Treblinka and Auschwitz and Hashem's kindness and loving kindness and goodness. But not in this world. In this world, if you think about according to the rules and regulations of this world, it's very hard to reconcile Auschwitz with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person who is able to have emunah and to close his eyes and to stretch his gaze to the place of ayin, of nothing, of may ayin yavo ezri. So that person is able to be purified of all the impurity that death brings and all the confusion and misery that death and suffering brings to the world, to our lives. And that's the meaning of Parshas Paro. The Zehu Tzrafa, that everything was put into its proper place, right? In the Sefer Yetzirah it says the letters of the Alabes were put into their proper arrangement. That's Parshas Paro. And what's after that? The final of the four Parshas. And then everything is created again. Everything starts again. Everything is fresh. And for us it means that we can start again. We can begin our lives again. No matter how many mistakes we've made and how many times we've bought into Amalek, we could come to a beginning. That's Parshas Chodesh, to start again. HaKosov HaMachadish B'tuvah, as Hashem recreates in His kindness every single day. The Zohar Parshas Chodesh, and that is Parshas Chodesh. The Zomasha Mevi B'Sefer Yetzirah Refesh V'Tid. And that's hinted at when the Sefer Yetzirah says that Hashem with the dirt and the clay, the plaster and the clay, Hashem made the ceiling that's called the world. The other side. Ki refesh v'tit hu davar rach. Because to begin with, those are soft materials until they harden. Right? The plaster, the clay, it's mud. I'm not quite sure what he's saying here. He says when something is soft and pliable, it means it's new. So maybe I don't really know what the Rebbe is saying here, because Parshas Chodesh, he says, corresponds to the clay with which Hashem created the world. Unless you say that when something becomes hardened and fixed and unchangeable, that's the opposite of tshuva, it's stuck. Hashem created the world with refish v'tit, which means the plaster and the mud, which means you could always, I think it means you could always start again. Let's start over again. In other words, you can't do that. What? Huh? You can mold into something else. Right? So maybe that's what the Rebbe means, that you can mold your life, remold your life. You can't do that. You can't take a piece of stone. I mean, I shouldn't say, because I really don't know anything about this stuff. You can't take a piece of cement and make it back into mud, can you?
You grind it up.
No, but I'm saying as it is, you can't just by heating it. Right. It can only be smashed into a million pieces and then crushed, and then what, you mix it with water?
Yeah.
It can be made into the exact same thing again?
Yeah.
Right. But I think the Rebbe is saying that it's called refish v'tit because Hashem is telling us that we could always remold our lives and start again, and we always have the material. Don't give up hope and think that it's fafal, that you're stuck, that you can't start again, but that we could remold our lives, we could change our lives. We're like kechomer
b'yad hayotzer. So you always like something new.
Always something new. Even though you've been doing something wrong, whatever, God forbid, 30, 40, 50 years, it's refish v'tit means let's start again.
It's pliable.
Pliable. Soft. It's soft, it's pliable, and you could build something good. You could build something different than you built until now. That's the Rebbe says that's Parshas Chodesh. It's a very, very beautiful and deep concept. Once everything returns to nothingness, to the Aleph, you could begin again. You don't have to be stuck. You can start remolding and reshaping and and build something new. Just like Hashem's Baruch is constantly renewing and rebuilding creation and reshaping, remolding and reforming, Hashem's Baruch gave each and every one of us the ability to reshape, to remold, to remodel, to do our lives over again. And that's the result of Parshas Parah.
Doesn't to do it over again.
No,
it means
different.
You can't start again.
Yeah, it means different. Like the Meister from Baruch HaMeshbetze, that the Yid, I told you many times, but there was a Meister from Baruch HaMeshbetze that there was one of his Talmidim that went completely off the derech. And first, the Rebbe Baruch Hu thought he was going to come back. He told the Chassidim, "Don't worry, he'll come back." And then ultimately, this Chassid was turns out moved to a big city, and he was living with a non-Jew. And at that point, the Rebbe Baruch Hu said, "Enough is enough," and he went himself to find that Chassid, that former Chassid. It says in the Sram him, and he came. Rebbe Baruch Hu, can you imagine? This fellow was like in his smoking jacket, you know, with his fancy cigar, whatever. And he opens the door with his girlfriend, with his arm around his girlfriend. And there's the Rebbe Baruch HaMeshbetze. Now that would be hard enough if it was just any one of our rebbeim from yeshiva. But he was the Rebbe Baruch HaMeshbetze, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, you know. The Rebbe Baruch HaMeshbetze, who, as you also know, if you know anything about Rebbe Baruch HaMeshbetze, had a very, very fiery temper. I mean, of Kedusha, of holiness, but everybody was afraid of him. So it says in the Svarim that this chassid opens the door, a former chassid is clean shaven. He opens the door with a girl. He screams to run away. And he's looking at the Rebbe. And Baruch Meshbetze puts his hand in his no mezuzah. And he's standing outside. And the chassid's just standing there shaking. And the Rebbe Baruch says, "You're not going to ask me to come in?" She says, "Of course, Rebbe, come in." And Baruch HaMeshbetze comes in, and this fellow throws something on his head, and he sits the Rebbe down at the table, and the Rebbe Baruch HaMeshbetze is sitting across from him and staring at him. 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour. This chassid, this fellow, is crying mamish like a baby, just sobbing. The Rebbe doesn't say a word, just sobbing. Finally, the Rebbe says to him, "Whatever his name is, Yankele, what happened to you?" So he said, "Rebbe, there was a certain room in my mind, and I made a mistake. I opened the door to that room, and I looked inside. And in that room led, from that room there was a door to another room, and from that room to another room, to another room." And he's just crying and crying and crying. "I got so totally lost." And at this point, he threw himself on the floor and he held on to the Rebbe's feet and he says, "But Rebbe, can I come back? I want to come back." And the Rebbe Baruch Hu said to him, "No, you can't come back." And the chassid was crying. He says, "But Rebbe, you always told us that there's tshuva. So how can you tell me I can't go back?" So the Rebbe said to him, now the Rebbe lifted him up and he said to him, "Shaita, you idiot. Why do you want to go back to the same mistakes that you've made? Don't go back to those rooms. Go to the next room. Because the next room in your heart, in your mind, is called Emunah Pshuta, simple faith. That's what tshuva is. Not to go back, to go forward. The next room is returning." And he took him back with him to Meshbetz. They went back together to Meshbetz. It says in the Sram, doesn't say his name, but he says that he became a tzaddik. He became a very big tzaddik, a very big kaddish. Obviously, they don't want to say his name. No, it'll hurt with shaduchim and stuff, you know. It says, you know, they have to be worried back then about these things also. But it says he became a big tzaddik this year. Became a big tzaddik. So that's what it means to return to Ayin. It doesn't mean, it's like what Rinyan Menish just said, it doesn't mean to go back. To go back, that's where you got all fablonges. You mean to go back. You don't go back, you go forward. You move forward to the next place, to a higher place. That place beyond is called Ayin. But that's what it means. That's what the beginning is. That's the beginning. Hashem's book should help us, and that we can't start the next piece. It's a hard piece. Maybe over Shabbos you'll take a look. You see, it's a gewaltige Torah here. And the next one is also talking about the Shana Mubaris, about the leap year. But maybe over Shabbos we'll take a look at Al Kaponim. We should be zayche not just to read the four parashas, but to live the four parashas. Each one of the four parashas corresponds to another letter of Hashem's name, to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. These four parashas are very, very, very special. These 4 weeks are very special weeks. And we really, really can grow a lot. And as we move into the time of redemption, which is Purim and Pesach, especially when it's an Ibiyo and it's a Shana Mubaris, we have special kaychas that we don't have the rest of the years. Just in Shana Mubaris, there's more kaychas than usual. So Hashem is about to help us that we should be able to make good use of these kaychas.